everybody, we're off for the holidays this week, and since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show on acne, eczema, and skin issues that originally aired in April of 2014, and we hope you all have a happy new year.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer, and jack of all asses.
Oh, now I gotta be all around all the asses.
Yeah. What's up? Are you doing okay today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. I'd like to thank you for asking.
Oh, good. It's just polite. I really don't care what your answer is.
I'm
just being polite. Okay, and then I have sitting here to my left, who is actually half naked, Will Schmidt. What's up?
How are
Will?
You?
He is a fitness trainer to the stars, and he's pretty darn cute and sweet, and he can cook a mean quiche.
As we saw today.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Have we decided which half of him is naked? Because that could...
The best half. Okay. I'll leave that to the imagination of the listeners. So if you have not followed us yet on Facebook at Kick It in the Nuts, then you're dumb, okay? Because you need to follow us. It's the coolest... hottest place around.
All the cool kids hang out there.
Yeah. And we're going to post questions about future shows, and you guys can weigh in and ask us some stuff you want to know, and we won't know the answer, but it'll be real fun trying to come up with some cool stuff to say. So, you know, go ahead and follow us there, and then you can just share your personal experience, and we'll talk about it live on radio, and, you know, it won't be personal anymore.
Right. I like it when people ask questions about their poop, and then we make fun of their ass, and it's good. It's good times.
It's good stuff. Good fodder. So today's topic is acne and other weird, freaky skin conditions.
Dun, dun, dun. Franken-things.
Franken-scan. Skin.
We'll go over terms later. We'll figure out some and we'll come back and try harder.
Okay, good. So this covers like eczema and all that kind of crap. And
even freaky stuff.
And freaky stuff.
We had some
stuff.
People ask questions about, you know, freaky stuff too, and
scurvy.
I like that.
Yeah.
This one time, I found this. I had this skin tag, I guess is what it's called. I don't know why. It just popped up, and it was on the inside of my thigh, and I took scissors and cut it off.
That is a great
story. And it never came back.
That's my favorite story ever.
Scissors are usually my solution.
Yeah. You know, it really didn't even hurt. I was surprised, too, and it barely bled.
And in the middle of the night, what did the skin tag fairy bring
for us? What did the skin
say? Did you get a quarter? Did you get a quarter under your pillow?
South Park episode.
No, I did not get anything, but maybe it was missing foreskin from one of my former boyfriends.
That's probably what it was.
Coming back to haunt me. Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about the main cause is usually acne, and then we'll get into questions and anything like that. You feel okay about doing all that, Ken?
Yeah, I'm good. As long as I don't have to pop any zits, I'm okay.
Yeah, we're going to pop zits some other show.
Oh, good.
But the main issue that when we're looking at acne and a lot of skin issues, maybe not all of them, but most people look at it is what do I need to put on that? There's got to be something I can wipe on that that's going to fix it, and they kind of view it as almost they must be having a lotion deficiency or something like that, and that's not the case. What usually is going on is it's something inside the body, and a lot of people end up improving their acne and other issues by improving situations in their body or nutrition and stuff like that. So one of the main causes, especially with kids you see today, then their acne is like when you look at it, you're like, oh, man, that just hurts. That's got to hurt. There's like stuff leaking out of that right now. And you know, when you were a kid, I had acne and I hated it. It was horrid. It was less fun.
You still do. He looks like one big giant zit.
I am a zit. They call me ZD. But what happens in a lot of situations is that if a person can't process a food that they're eating or they're taking in more junk than their body can get rid of, this skin is this awesome backup turbo organ that can help the body pull junk out that shouldn't be in there. It has all these little holes in it. You know, they're called pores. We know about that. So if the body's having a hard time removing all this junk, it'll just shove it out the pores in the body. And if this junk clogs up those pores, then it starts to affect our skin and we're not so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Because your skin's like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
With a bunch of holes. Mm-hmm. And then filth comes out it and makes a zit.
Right. So if the filth gets stuck there, that's going to create some type of skin irritation or a zit or a big old skin tag. You know, I don't know what you got going on. But a lot of the times it's about, okay, what is the toxin that the body's trying to get rid of that it's having a hard time and it has to use the skin as an exit strategy? And a lot of times it's the people won't have their bile flowing in a manner that they can emulsify fats when they eat them. They can process those fats. So the fats don't get emulsified, and now they're in the body undigested, and the body's like, we got to get these don't belong here. So it starts pushing it out through the skin, and that can create a lot of acne issues.
Crisco coming out of the pores.
Right. Basically. And a lot of people will just wipe it off and put it in the can and save it for cooking later. And I don't want to eat at their house.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you seen those things online? I don't know. You can Google it, like cysts. And they're like the hugest like cysts you've ever seen in your life. And people pop them and pus comes out, this like 25 gallons episode. Of...
You're talking like on their neck or something like that?
Yeah, and their backs and stuff. What causes that? I mean, they're like the biggest honkers you've ever seen. And one was like 25 years in the making, a blackhead that was like the size of... bigger than the size of a quarter, and it was disgusting.
I don't have too many clients come to me with that, so I don't have a lot of experience with big Franken bolts on the side of your neck kind of thing. But we'll look into that for those folks because it sounds like they might need some
help.
They
need help.
But Will, what other kind of stuff do you see as far as toxins and?
Yeah, what I would look at, like, other than, like, as you already talked about, problems with digestion causing toxic retention, not breaking down foods well and not eliminating waste because of bile flow issues, I would also look at some more nuanced skin issues like warts and fungal infections and bacterial infections. And that leads us to an imbalance that we look at and we've described a lot in our courses on and in your books, the catabolic and anabolic issues. Mm-hmm. So one thing we know is that people that are in a catabolic imbalance tend to have more bacterial and fungal problems, like under their fingernails and toenails and things like that. Whereas the anabolic person tends to be more prone to viral infection, which is what warts are from. So when people's like tissues are closed off and they're not letting enough oxygen in, a wart virus can thrive and it'll, you know, prosper. So there's a lot of attention that should be paid to, are you in a catabolic or anabolic imbalance if you're dealing with either of those issues?
So warts don't come from frogs then?
Well, you can maybe get it from a frog, but like the reason it might stick around and cause you problems would be like if you're stuck in an anabolic imbalance or if your tissues are deplete of calcium and leads you susceptible also to like colds and flus and other viruses.
Right. So. And another thing to consider before we get into questions is that you look at a lot of kids that really get the bad acne and you think about when digestion really comes online and someone's digestion really matures as they finish up going through puberty and they become, that's why a girl can now have a baby when she's, you know, become a woman. And she's fancy. It's because that her digestion has matured to the point that it's functioning fully. So that's why a lot of those kids just kind of grow out of that acne, is that their digestion develops to the point that the food that they're eating is not becoming junk in the body that has to be pushed out through the skin. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that, you know, now we, so much they're drinking all the soda and there's all this, all these chemicals and everything is more than what the body can handle. So don't think that you're not allowed to have anything processed or you're going to break out. The body's made to remove a lot of that junk. But when you take it in the manner that we're taking it in today, it's more than the body can handle in a lot of cases. And then it's pushing stuff out through the skin, and that's when we get the issues.
So when people say it's hormonal, like if you're about to start your period and you get, you know, more pimples or whatever, or and you're in high school, you're going through puberty, so your hormones have nothing to do with it. It's mainly digestion and the food. And
I think they can have something to do with it, but in a lot of cases, those hormones are jacking up to different levels because of other needs in the body. Like before your period,
it's not able to take care of it because it's doing all these things for resources this way? Or?
Yeah, like if you're starting your period, that takes a lot of resources to do that. So your body is putting a lot towards that. And if it doesn't have enough, then hormones will jack up to try and help that process happen. And that maybe affect some some acne, you know, skin issues as well. You okay with that, Will?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Right.
In general.
Thanks for coming out.
We don't want to say anything's always the case,
right,
but
right. Generally. Yeah, that's not the rule, but we're just saying what happens. So, you know, keep that in mind, too, when we're talking about these things. They may not affect you. We like to look at things by figuring out what the issue is with you. And
everyone's a special flower.
They're very special. Mm-hmm. Like a snowflake.
Exactly. We're all individuals.
One other thing I'd like to add is when we look at, like, the variety of different issues, like, in addition to acne, or we already mentioned, like, fungal infections and wart problems and things like that, I always like to remind the person trying to solve the problem to go back to the basic chemistry and just try to address that, their digestion and their chemistry, and try to just push those parameters into where they should be. So you can learn where your ideal range is for those parameters are and what the parameters are, all those points of balance, by reading any of Tony's books or going through our online courses to just help you kind of address all those things at once. And they really do all go together. The skin is kind of just a reflection of what else is going on the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a complex picture of, you know, of bringing yourself into balance. So it's important to kind of look at all those different factors and just work on trying to get yourself into those ideal ranges in general. And you'll see a lot of your symptoms will just fall away as you do that.
Right, right.
Interesting. I know for myself, I suffer with not really necessarily acne, but I get really, really super dry. Super dry, my scalp, the backs of my feet, my hands, my face, everything gets dry. I will even get like dry patches, my elbows. And is that nutrition? Is that weather? What is that?
You know, I think weather can play a part of it, and I think Will agrees with that.
Mm.
But I don't know that it would be the outstanding thing. If you look at everything that the body uses to create the cells, and, you know, it's water, it's all these, you know, sterols and fatty acids and all this stuff. So if weather affects your skin more than it does someone else, I think you have to assume that the body is missing something that it needs. And we know that you, if you drink a whole bunch of water, then your blood pressure goes
out, yeah.
And you're psycho and you think you're a fire truck.
Exactly.
So, you know, you try to avoid that.
You can also look at, like, what tendencies does your body have and what climate are you in? For example, when I go to like a very dry, arid climate, my skin's really great because it tends to be more oily. But if I go to a humid place, I'll have more breakouts and vice versa.
Your clothes are just slipping off.
Yeah, you. Just falling, drip.
It's not always about Will's clothes. It is a lot of the time.
Right.
But
like, that's good to know when you think about like tailoring your diet to also look at all the factors, like how hot is it? How dry is it? Like, and you can set yourself up for, you know, to prepare for what your body's exposed to every day.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. You know, a lot of when it's more humid out, the body is also, it's easier for it to sweat. And then it's all constantly pushing some junk out. Those pores are flowing and they don't get as backed up. That could be a factor as well. Mm. We're going to get into some more of this stuff too. Let's do some questions and see what people are freaking out about.
All right.
Why don't they calm down?
Yeah. Okay, well, I already answered my first one because that was mine.
Way to go.
All right. Madeline from Toluca Lake, California. My daughter started breaking out after she went on birth control. Any correlation there? How old's her daughter? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is she on birth control? Yeah. What's up?
So she's sleeping with people.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Will, why don't you talk a little bit about birth control?
Well, in general, and most doctors will, from my experience, disagree with what I'm about to say, but in general, we see birth control affecting bile flow by restricting it. Just like the body doesn't know the difference from the stimulus from the drug birth control that causes constriction of the fallopian tube, which prevents the egg from dropping. It doesn't just constrict the fallopian tube, but it also often restricts bile flow by constricting the biliary pathway where bile is supposed to flow through. So then the toxins don't get out of the body the way they should, and they recirculate, and that can cause acne for the reasons you talked about
earlier. Right, and it's a big deal because when you're restricting bile flow, not only now you can't process fats, so those fats are going to be a problem that have to be pushed out through the skin, but now you took away the body's main exit strategy for toxins. So if you have no bile flow, you're basically having to poop out of your skin. It's not attractive. It's like a crap-faced Chia Pet situation.
Okay.
You don't want that.
No.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, you don't want that. And that's just some, different birth control avenues may work in different factors, but we see this happen a lot, and we I think some birth controls even have added medications in them to help skin. And then people, some doctors will even put them on birth control to help their skin because they have these factors in them. But we see a lot of people that are on birth control that have skin issues because the bile is not flowing. And once you get the bile flowing, they seem to do a lot better.
I think they need to come up with a birth control that restricts your vagina so that you can't get a penis in.
Uh-huh.
And then you won't get pregnant.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about your bile. You don't have to worry about all that.
I think that we'll develop that today and we'll go on Shark Tank.
Okay, great, cool.
It's called the chastity belt.
Yeah, exactly.
It's uh-huh. It's called babysitting a 2-year-old.
That'll do it. Zoe from Los Angeles, California. So why does like my face get so greasy? I hate it.
Oh no.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh. Well, think about what if you can't process the fat and the body's gonna push fat out through the skin, what's that gonna feel like on your skin?
Not good.
It's gonna be Crisco-y.
Yeah, it's gonna be greasy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty common in that scenario. Do you have other reasons why skin can get a little more greasy?
I would also look at like what's your atmosphere like and what products and such might you be using. So we want to emphasize like looking at what's going on the inside, because that's, you know, maybe where we have the most useful insights to add. But mm-hmm. I would say also she's in LA. Maybe she does a lot of lousy makeup and there's for sure pollution. You know,
she puts on makeup before she goes to the gym.
Yeah. Estee right? Lauder. And no, they're not.
Yeah.
Our sponsors.
These are hypoallergenic. So, but so I would also look at that and look at one of the main things that helps keep our cells clean is albumin, one of the blood proteins. And they found that the more hygienic a person is, like the more often they're washing with soaps and things, the higher blood albumin levels they have. And that helps fight off like the bacteria and stuff, which can cause the irritation and inflammation, which shows up as acne. So I would also look at those cosmetic things, given that she's in LA.
Mm-hmm. And take lots of showers.
Sure.
Mm, okay. Lori from Feltham Slough, United Kingdom. My 13-year-old daughter has been using cinnamon and honey face mask for about a month now, and her skin has greatly improved.
I don't want to talk to Lori. Good. She sounds fancy.
Yeah, yeah. Lori is.
Yeah. And I think that, one thing that's important to understand is that there are things out there that seem to work well for people in improving their acne, you know, as far as skin lotions or washes and all these kind of things. So if you think about that, if the body's filled with something that it's trying to push out through the skin, if you can clean out those pores, then they don't get clogged up and you don't get as much of an irritation. So the irritation. I'm talking to Lori now.
Okay,
so
okay.
My accent irritation. Is just not as good. So if you can benefit yourself by cleaning out the pores, but a lot of times that's hard to try and keep up with. And if you can fix the problem from the inside, then all of a sudden you don't have to walk around all day afraid that a bear is going to come lick your face because you have honey all over.
Exactly. And be attacked. That would be, don't take him camping, Lori.
Yeah,
do
right.
not take him camping.
And I would also say like sometimes these little like house remedies are exactly what that person's chemistry happened to need. And then other times, like it'd be the exact, like I know if I put honey on my face, I would break out like crazy, right?
Well, if I put honey on my face, I'd be licking my face all
that,
day.
And right. And that'd be weird. So you don't want to just like do that because Lori did it and it worked for her. And
right.
for
but
her,
Lori
like,
did it.
Right. Well, if Lori jumped off a bus. Well, like, so you want to look at like, how did this affect this person's chemistry? Maybe it was anti-inflammatory things in the cinnamon or the antimicrobial things in the honey, or maybe it pushed the pH of her skin in the way it needed to go, but it's nuanced. And you want
right.
to look at like your chemistry.
Right. It is pretty solid chance that if something works for somebody else, it could make somebody else worse, no matter what it is, right mm-hmm. down to water.
Yeah.
You know, every
exactly.
single thing. Yeah.
Exactly. You boys are smart. Kathy from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Any suggestions for fragrance sensitivities and chemical sensitivities?
I'm from Florida. I don't talk like
well,
that.
Well, I don't really know
I'm
how
just
Floridian
saying.
Talks.
You should have done a voice like me.
Okay. I'll try to. Actually,
here we look. So this is an interesting thing because this is something I dealt with a lot when I was sick and on listening to all the doctors and on a lot of medications.
You went to a bunch of doctors, 8 years of struggles. That's
right.
How I found out all this stuff, people. He's not just brilliant. He had
it
to
was
study.
Not an accident. Yeah. But because my body was so toxic, that all those like cleaning products and fragrances, they all have chemicals in there. And when you breathe it in, you're taking stuff in the body, and the body's made to where you can remove some of that. You don't have to run from everybody who's wearing Dracar.
Yeah.
Although if you're hanging out with somebody who's still wearing Dracar, then you might want to take away their parachute pants and have them step up or something. But the problem is that it's usually a situation where your body's already overloaded, and a lot of times that's a liver issue where the liver just can't keep up with the toxins that it's trying to remove. So it's kind of like everything that you walk by hits you harder. And I was at the point where I couldn't be in the same house as any type of cleaning product, or nobody could wear perfume of any kind anywhere around me.
So anal.
So annoying. but now I sniff perfume. I snort it.
Yeah, cool.
Like a glue.
Cool.
Yeah,
and it's fine. I'm going to start wearing Dracar every day.
Right. So I view it as a situation where the body is too toxic and it's having a hard time and it can't take in extra like most people normally can.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I like that approach of just looking at the overall chemistry and your digestion and just working on getting yourself as balanced as you can, because it raises what we refer to as like adaptive capacity, your body's ability to deal with shit.
Right, right. And when you look at digestion, bile flow is so important to liver function, because bile is where the garbage is. The liver did all the work, took out all this garbage, and it put it in the bile like that's the garbage man. So if the garbage man never shows up, and the liver's like, well, I still got all this garbage, and it gets overwhelmed. So that's why the bile is so important in that respect.
You got a big landfill in you.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Okay. Megan from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Hey, Tony, can you talk about which imbalances might affect eczema and how much different... Oh, wait, let's go back there. And how different foods might aggravate eczema symptoms? What kind of hope is there to improve these symptoms through nutrition? Zero. No. You stumped us.
Nah. I think eczema is a big thing with it. We always want to look at how the liver's functioning for that person. And there's other things like psoriasis can be a little more advanced, and there can be other issues going on, and that can be a little harder to deal with. Eczema seems to be a little easier to see improvement with when you help somebody improve digestion.
What is the difference?
The spelling.
Yes, the spelling. Good answer.
Yeah.
Because, I just thought it was all kind of the same.
Well,
eczema and psoriasis. Which...
No, I mean, I used to have, like, horrendous eczema. And it...
Oh, Will.
When it first started, I thought it was a poison oak outbreak. I thought I'd, like, hiked through a forest or whatever, because it was these huge, red, intensely itchy, boily, oily things on my calves and then my wrists.
Wow.
It was awful, and I really thought it was poison oak, but then it just didn't go away and started, like, spreading. It was, like, months and months. Whereas, like, some other people I've known that have had psoriasis, they're more like dry red patches, not so much blisters, and they'll come up for different reasons, and, like, people can start to know their triggers, and sometimes they'll feel, like, itching preceding and like a patch where it's going to break out. But it looks quite different, and there's nuanced causes for...
And I have heard theories about psoriasis. I just don't know enough about it, so I don't like to share them. But, you know, to where it can be more bacterial type issue type of thing and stuff that I'm not so sure about. But when we talk about eczema, if you help somebody's liver function better, they seem to do a lot better. And if you look at food like Megan's asking about, well, does a person have some sensitivities to food to where when they eat this food... is it like the body's going to war? So now the body's dealing with all this other stuff, and it ends up, you know, things that it could have regularly removed from the body, it ends up pushing through the skin and causing irritations. So you gotta kind of look at, you know, does a food cause irritations for other reasons, not just a skin issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for me, like when I fixed it, when I found like the right approach, it worked right away. Like I had intense itching spread, like these boils and stuff for years. Tried steroid creams and things like that. Tried reducing carbohydrates a little bit, but nothing.
For you, was it that you just needed to watch old episodes of Different Strokes?
Yeah.
And that took care of it.
Just season one.
What are you talking about?
But it was a whole overall. It was like actually this, it was an alkaline cleanse at first that... Not saying that the alkalinity like helped it necessarily or hurt it, but what was true about the approach that I took was there was no toxins in, I wasn't taking like weight gainers and protein powders and weird garbage that my body couldn't identify or digest. So it did take a complete overhaul, but it worked right away and it never came back. So I would say like for a person like trying to figure out what it is for them, it's great to focus on the fundamentals of try to get your digestion working well, get your liver function on point. Don't eat things that you know are toxic or that are processed and artificial.
Soda and all these things your body's having a hard time with.
Yeah.
And maybe look at things like more leafy green vegetables that have all that good nutrients in there that can bind to toxins and help them move out of the body as well. So not only do you need to eat good foods, but, you know, reduce the stuff that's causing the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Cool.
This next, is this
This Dawn? Is Dawn.
She's three.
Yes.
Maybe read Dawn's and the one after her because they kind of talked about the similar
stuff.
Break
it up a little bit. But Dawn, you only get one question when you ask your questions, not three next time. Greedy. No, I'm kidding. You can ask as many as you want.
Yeah, she had good ones too.
Dawn, I have a spot on the outside of my thigh about arm's length down that itches frequently. No redness, rash, can't even tell it's there. But I will wear out a spot on my jeans from scratching it. It's not in my head or a nervous reaction. It's something, have no clue. Been there for years now.
So let's ask Sarah's too because she...
All right, and so Sarah here from Los Angeles, California says, Dawn, I have a similar thing to your number one. Except my, and that was the number one question. Except mine is on my upper right arm. Sometimes when it is really bad, it does get slightly red, but most of the time it's not noticeable. I know for sure mine is food related though, because the only time it goes away is when I have not been on point. I have been on point with my nutrition for a few weeks straight. The more I slip up, the worse it gets. I haven't pinpointed it if it's a certain food or just an overall. Being good thing or bad thing is what she meant by overall.
Sure.
I added that last part.
So for Dawn's question number one, and Dawn had 17 questions, but we edited it down to her top three that we like the favorite of. You know, when you look at a specific area of the body, and Renee in the support group, she posted some facial map thing that said, like, you know, if this part of your face is doing this, it means this. And I don't know that how much I buy into that. That could be true. I just don't really know. Renee says she didn't know either. But a lot of times people's pores can get blocked up. You know, you talk to people and they don't even sweat. They're like, oh, I never sweat. And the reason that person's not sweat is because their pores have become clogged. And if you go and, you know, sit in the hot sauna or something like that, you can pop those corks and get it flowing again, and that person can start to sweat again. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, is this just a part of your body where the body has found a good passage to move junk out? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Will?
I would look at it like with what Sarah said about being really on point kind of with everything versus an alternate approach, like an allergy elimination diet, which some people will go on and will try to figure out what single food is causing it or what, you know, single, like maybe sugar or whatever it is. And that's why I think it's so important to focus on your overall chemistry rather than saying, oh, you have this list of allergens, so never eat avocados and artichokes and
Cheetos
and salt and whatever it is. Because things like the ALCAT test, I think, can be really misleading to a lot of people, where they'll say they get this list of all these different foods that they should never have again.
Right. If you want to have lunch, you have to leave Earth.
Right. Only have red grapes or whatever it is. Right. You know? But what we've seen from like over and over looking at people's chemistry and these lists that I've seen, like cross comparison, is that it's not that they have a genetic allergen to a particular food necessarily. Sometimes that's the case. But a lot of times it's just these foods are pushing their body chemistry into an imbalanced state. And if they fix their overall chemistry, they could have those foods in moderation again. So I would look at that again, like point Sarah and Dawn back to the basics of getting your overall chemistry in line, make sure your digestion's working well, and see if that benefits it, makes you less sensitive.
Right, and what's interesting about what Sarah said is, you know, if you had some itchy thing on one spot of your body, you would have tried 40 creams, you know, already. And you're going, you're trying a different cream every week or trying to find some type of remedy. And then what she finds is that when she eats good foods and she's not putting junk in her body all day, that it just kind of stops. Hmm. So that's a pretty good sign that a lot of what's going on is happening inside and it's not, it doesn't need to be treated on the outside.
Hmm.
So let's go to Dawn's question.
Go within to go outside.
That was deep.
Wow.
Let's go to Dawn's question number 7.
Okay, here we go. Now she's talking about her son. My son gets light, spotty, blotchy discolorations, mainly on his back and front shoulder areas. You can really tell sometimes after he's been in the sun. At first, we thought it was him jumping in the South Platte River in Colorado that is highly contaminated, or wrestling and aftermaths of ringworm. Oh, but sometimes it improves and then gets worse again. A neighbor girl in Idaho actually has the same thing. Maybe they're sleeping together. We have used chlorophyll, yeast, candida, detoxes, intestinal detoxes, and he eats really good as well. Home cooks all the time. I have wondered, though, if it could be from beer consumption. Maybe. Mm. Yeah. The only downfall of his, the neighbor girl is a drinker, too. So just thinking. He and this neighbor,
this
they're
like
shacking
trouble.
Up and they're yeah. drinking
it's
beer.
Weird. There's this weird rash that we've never seen on any other humans except these two, and it's only on their genital area.
Yeah.
And we're not sure what's going
before
on.
Before they get together.
Oh. Yeah. So have you had clients that have had this, Will, where the skin gets discolored or they don't have the kind of pigment thing kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Where it's like white or something, like kind of like that Michael mm-hmm. Jackson thing that mm-hmm. was going on.
Mm-hmm. Where all the cool kids were doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but there is, and a lot of practitioners have told me that it can be a situation where digestion is not functioning enough to create this, there's a pigment that gets created. And the person, if they're not able to do that, then the skin starts to blotch and it'll just fade in specific areas. So that may be what's going on. Mm. I don't know how beer is involved with that.
I basically have no pigment then. I'm just like, I'm
you're,
so wide.
You're one
I'm
big
just,
splotch. Yeah.
You know, exactly. You see, I lived 5 years in India and you'd see a lot of that in
you
India.
You lived in India for 5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was
you were working tech support
mostly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of telemarketing.
<That's good. laughs> And you worked at 7-Eleven,
like 3 rupees an hour. Yeah. It was rough, but they have a ton of. Is it called vitiligo? I don't know. It's, that's the name of it.
Yeah.
And
I think that's it. I'm
but also
to drink while I'm talking.
Yeah, but mostly in Mumbai where it's super gross. It's so toxic. Not to offend like any people that
everybody
go,
from
but
Mumbai.
The city is just awful. It's so disgusting.
But you don't want to be offensive, but grab
them. Keep going on. But, and use
I don't mean to be racist, but like,
I don't want to say your city is horrible.
No,
but grab
yeah,
a broom.
It is. It's so polluted. And when you go to like the outskirts, like Kerala or Goa, you don't see any of that. So again, the point's like. Toxins in their environment, in their food, in their air, in their water. So maybe that wrestling, maybe the wrestling, maybe the river, maybe this drinking prostitute, whatever.
Maybe with the neighbor girl.
But if, you know, I would look towards toxicity and what is it doing to digestion?
Right, and is his digestion on track in the first place? Because if the pigment, the blotching is, you know, if it spreads or it's like an obvious different color. That may be a pigment situation that may improve if he improves his digestion.
Mm-hmm. All right. And here's her number 3 question. I have friends that are allergic to the sun and get rashes. Blisters
you have
and
friends, Dawn?
Yeah. Blisters and not from burns, but regular exposure to sun. Many on the shoulders, cleavage areas. All those girls are smokers. Coincidence? Who is your son hanging out with and all these people?
I think that we should limit to 2 questions, but it's only because I don't know the answer to this one. No, but I know the smoking can constrict capillaries to where, you know, that could cause some kind of problem, but I don't have a thought.
It might
why.
Make the skin darker just from the, you know, the whatever it's called, tar. It colors your
smoking.
Teeth.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know.
Make
I think
body.
Will has an idea.
Well, some thoughts. One is like smoking, like, causes vitamin C deficiencies usually, which makes the skin, it's essential for a healthy skin because you'll get, in extreme cases, scurvy, but also just like poor skin health when you don't sure. have enough vitamin C. Plus all the toxins from smoking in general can make you really like light sensitive and screw you up in lots of ways. And then also you can look at how is sunlight itself affecting that person's chemistry. When we look at like the vitamin D you get from the sun. For some people, like right, if their urine pH is too high, if they're leaning too anabolic and the vitamin D from the sun pushes them even more anabolic, it can exacerbate all sorts of imbalances, including skin issues.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe they're vampires. Have they ever thought about that?
We did not consider that, but I think that's probably going to be our number one answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Don, they're probably vampires, so don't hang out with them that much.
And stab them in the heart with a wooden stake.
Yes, yeah. See if that fixes it.
Uh-huh.
It's a good thing people take what we say
exactly,
to heart.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. We're going to have like a slew of people doing what we say, and it's going to be on the news, and uh-huh. people murdering Oops. Vampires. Amber, does excess facial hair count? I'm not even joking. I don't take any weird supplements, but have a battle with unibrow. Want a beard and a stash.
Wannabe beard and
a stash. So her unibrow wants to be a beard and a stash.
No, she has a unibrow and
oh,
she has
a one. Okay. $5 to whomever calls me bearded lady. Bearded lady. I get the $5.
All right. Kenna's got dibs on the $5. So this is a real thing. And it's called, I don't know how to pronounce it, hirsutism or something like that. But it's where females have more body hair, and it can be really hard for them. It can be a tough thing for a girl to go through. I've had clients
see my chest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. but I really have. I've had clients that literally had to shave every day and then put on really thick makeup, and it's like it was really hard for them to deal with. So one thing that I have found is that it tends to be a situation where the people that deal with this issue are usually more anabolic, and I know that Amber does tend to be more anabolic, so that's interesting to me. But in the anabolic state, it's that rebuilding state, so your body makes more testosterone. So not only are you raising testosterone, but when testosterone is raised, estrogen levels can go low too. So I've seen some people where they took steps to try and push estrogen higher, like they were. The person was eating more soy, and you know, because soy can mimic estrogen in the body, and they seem to see some improvements. So that might be, you know, soy is not something that I like to tell people to use a lot because it mimics estrogen, and that usually causes all kinds of problems. But if you needed to raise estrogen, I wonder if soy would be a decent idea for you.
Yeah, you can also look at like what they may be consuming that might be, what nutrients might be restricting estrogen production.
Sure.
You know, could be foods that would otherwise be healthy. They could also like try pushing themselves to be extra catabolic.
Right.
You know,
so that the body's not, you know, testosterone so high.
Rather than thinking like their only solution is to like inject estrogen
or buy stock and Bic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. To avoid that.
So yeah, trying to push your chemistry to be a little bit more estrogenic.
Right. There's, that's good.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see what happens with Amber if she makes herself a little less anabolic.
Okay, interesting. I'm anabolic, and now I'm scared I'm going to start getting really hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Julie from Bonner's Ferry. I was going to call it Boner's Ferry. Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. I was taught by a naturopath eczema is a liver issue. True or false? And Chinese medicine says it's an energy blockage. Oh, those Chinese, they don't know.
I don't know why I is having an Asian issue this week. We've had stir fry every day this week. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, yeah, we always want to say it depends. And not that as a cop-out, but because it really can depend. Like,
but it is a good cop-out.
It is a good cop-out. Yeah, it works most time. But, I mean, for certain cases of eczema, like, for me, like, you could definitely say my liver health was part of it, but it was also my massive consumption of artificial weight gainer protein powder things.
You know, so like, whether your liver wasn't functioning correctly or there was just so much junk going in that the liver was having a hard time for it, that could be the thing.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, Chinese medicine says it's an energy blockage. Well, think about if a liver is not functioning right, that's a lot of flow that you're losing. Everything's sludging up, so you know, it's two different views that are kind of actually saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
True that.
It got true.
Chinese were
Kinda
right.
Kinda
true
it.
Shoot. All right, Katie from Long Island. My lips get dry and the corners of my mouth crack and bleed. Nothing I try seems to improve it. Any ideas?
I had that, Katie. It was the worst. It was the worst. I think I had it for like a year.
Wow. Hmm.
It was brutal. It was right after I had gotten off all the drugs and my body was all beaten up and I was a wreck.
Aww.
Yeah, it was sad times. Anybody want to pet my head?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked for answers for this for a really long time. And then this chiropractor told me, he's like, oh, it's a vitamin B deficiency. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. So I tried it. I tried some different types of vitamin B, and it totally worked and never came back. But it was I found that there's different types of vitamin B. You know, they'll just be a part of the molecules. And I had to find something that was a full complex of all the vitamins that go in that vitamin B family. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be what did it for me.
Mm.
Yeah, it was freaky. So I don't know if that's the answer. And I don't understand what the actual cause is. I never did figure that out. But when I did that, it worked. And I've seen other people do the same.
Interesting.
Yes, I think they call it chelosis or something like that.
And someone put, that while back in the support group, they had dry lips all the time too, and they said they just put coconut oil on it, and it really helped.
Yeah, with dry, it's different. It's not like a chapped lips thing. Your lips can be a little dry, but it's like the corners crack and they bleed.
That's what my heels and then, do sometimes. Yeah.
Like people are always like, "Are you eating ketchup?" Because it looks like you're bleeding down the side of your mouth.
Wow.
It pulls chicks.
Wow.
Okay.
Some vampire-ish look, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Hope I don't get stabbed in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Renee, long-term effects of standard medical acne treatments like antibiotics and Accutane, and how to repair damage from past use. I think, like, back in school, everybody was on Accutane that mm-hmm. I remember, like, right. And they couldn't go out in the sun and...
Yeah, what is the deal with that? Like, you're never allowed to go out in the sun
you're
again?
You're not supposed to go out in the sun when you're on Accutane, but, like, how do you prevent that? I mean,
I wonder if Don's friends are on Accutane, and that's why they blister
exactly,
up.
Maybe.
When they go outside.
Ugh. Ask them if they're on Accutane, Don.
Will, why don't you talk a little bit about, especially the antibiotics part?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a very short-term, short-sighted approach to trying to fix acne. If you look at, oh, well, it's the bacteria on the skin, so we just kill all the bacteria, then you're good. But then you're destroying all of your flora and you're messing up a big important part of digestion.
Right.
So you don't break down your food as well, or get all the nutrients from it as well. So you're going to have midterm and long-term issues from that you would want to try to fix by taking a probiotic and making sure your digestion is just flowing the way it should.
That was Will that hit his mic. I didn't do it. One time, it wasn't me. I'm the winner, chicken dinner. And I will say that is important, too, that if you do antibiotics for any reason, once you're done, it really is important to do probiotics for a little bit, even if it's just a week or two, just to reestablish some gut flora in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mandy from Memphis, Tennessee. Was told a couple of years ago by a dermatologist not to use anything on my face that is natural or edible. Because in her words, if you can eat it, bacteria can eat it too. And that caused acne. I know now that that's not true and acne is a result of toxins in the body. So my question is, spot acne, meaning acne only shows up in the same spots on my face. Can you pinpoint a more direct cause if you are constantly getting acne only in one spot?
Is it a spot on your face where you're always putting your hand?
Maybe,
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe you're always putting a piece of Crisco there or on your finger.
No, I don't understand. And I've had this issue before where there was just a part of my body that would have a little bit of a dry spot or, you know. It would
I have that too,
out.
Where like one place always gets a pimple right there, like always. Like,
yeah.
That's my place.
You know what's great about Kenna too is that you're the perfect example of the body... you know, a lot of acne issues being caused by toxins.
Anytime,
yeah, because so if a person has been eating the wrong way, for example,
mm-hmm.
maybe a lot of cupcakes mm-hmm. or something, I don't know who would do that, but the body gets defensive and it starts shoving this stuff into fat cells and all these toxins into fat cells to store them. And then when a person starts to eat well, the body says, oh, the coast is clear. They'll start pulling junk out of fat cells, putting it back in the blood so that it could be filtered out and removed. But a lot of times when people do that, the body may pull out too much junk and it like more than it got a handful, and it's like, okay, now we got to shove some out the skin. So whenever Kenna used to start eating well, she would always get this huge breakout, like of all these huge zits, and I'd be like, all right, you're doing everything great, you're doing it right.
And he'd always be like, oh, you're all zitty. Oh, you must be eating good. Yeah, thanks for noticing. Right.
Yeah. Because she was a toxic mess. Anyways, so, but as far as spot things.
Brittany wrote a song about me.
Who?
Called Toxic.
Yeah. Brittany. Right. You and Brittany hang. Will, do you have any thoughts on why one specific area? I don't know why that would happen.
It's one place
other,
on my ass.
Other than maybe what, other than personal problems, maybe what I would look at is, other than what you said already about like certain places being blotchy, like the body has found a good pathway of elimination there.
Right.
It could be something very esoteric with your movement patterns and where lymph does and doesn't flow well.
Sure, that's interesting.
You know, like maybe in your daily routine, you don't do certain stretches, your posture's off, so the lymph doesn't flow very well in a certain place. Right. Or it could be an external thing, like you hold your phone to your shoulder or something like that, or your...
And you've got a greasy phone.
Right, or your hair product leaks onto your face or whatever it is. Like, you can look for external causes too, but it could have to do with lymphatic flow.
And one thing to consider is that, you know, we talk about a lot of things that happen with the body and things that you can look at or try and figure out if that's what's going on with you, but really nobody knows how the body works. It's just, it's like more complicated than an Etch-a-Sketch, really. And anybody that says they understand everything that's happening, they're wrong. They just don't. But, you know, you can also look at it like, you know, when the body deposits calcium in joints and stuff, you know, some people can be arthritic in a specific situation just because that's where the body has found that it can deposit things well. So it could be doing the same type of situation with skin, where just that area is a place that it has found that it can push junk out. Mm. Just a theory. Mm. Who knows?
Nice. Well, we're out of questions.
And we're out of time.
We're out of time and out of questions. All right. We did not mention today, which is surprising. I think you mentioned it once, but we didn't give the name. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. And that you can get your digestion turned around there. You can fix a lot of problems and imbalances. And, you know, it's pretty nifty, actually.
That's cool, kids. And if you have eczema and you want to use the viewage of the different stroke reruns, Will says season one seems to do the best.
Exactly.
So that's our review.
That's
so,
it.
So, yeah. So if you have skin issues, something that you'll want to look at is you'll want to figure out, is your bile flowing correctly? Because many people, it's just too thick and sticky. It's not. That's a big deal. And then look at the toxins that are going in your body. Does your liver have the ability to keep up with that? Maybe you could reduce that somehow. And if those don't work, then you really have to get down to what imbalances are going on with my body. And if I correct those, then does that help?
And if all else fails, then you can start looking at the external stuff like
sandpaper, sand it down.
Exactly. Scissors
works for
skin tags. They work for me. All right, so join us next time where we'll be talking about something that probably will be
season
gross.
Season 2, Different Strokes, season 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Cures MS.
All right, poop on. Oh,